I'll call this meeting of the City Council of Junction City to order on this Tuesday, August the 10th, 2021, at 6:30 PM. And now if everyone would join me in rising and saying the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
The United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice.
Take roll call. We have Counselor Ken Wells.
Here.
Counselor John Gamby.
Here.
Counselor Sandy Thomas.
Here.
Counselor Andrea Seneca.
Here.
Counselor Sid Washburn.
Here.
And Counselor Karen Leach.
Here.
Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it. Now we'll go to any changes to the agenda. Hearing none, we'll move along to the approval of minutes for the July the 13th meeting. Do I hear any corrections or additions to those minutes?
I have one correction.
Yes.
On the July 13th, 2021, I don't know that it makes a big difference, but on page 5, under number 14, public safety, it says Counselor Seneca reported, and I did not report.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, is there any other corrections or additions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the July 13th council meeting with that correction.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for July 13th, 2021.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Mm-hmm. So it's been moved and second that we approve the minutes with the correction for July 13th. All those in favor? We'll go down the list here. Counselor Wells.
Yes.
Counselor Gamby.
Yes.
Counselor Thomas.
Yes.
Counselor Seneca.
Yes.
Counselor Washburn.
Yes.
And Counselor Leach.
Yes.
Okay. Now we'll move to the July 27th, 2021 minutes. Is there any corrections or additions there? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Been moved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Been moved and twice seconded.
2 seconds.
That we approve those minutes. Counselor Wells, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Thomas?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
Counselor Leach?
Yes.
Both July 13th and 27th minutes were approved. We'll move on to, is there any public comment on items not listed on the agenda? And if you do have, would you please state your name and your address? And you can go to the mic back here. Yes.
My name is Darren Olson, 1715 West 1st Avenue, Junction City. Just have a couple things. I live right on High Pass 1st Street, and wondering if there's anything we can get, any way we can get the speed limit lowered. Because right after, I think that the speed limit goes up pretty quickly, they're on High Pass, and we have all kinds of new housing developments going into Oakley, and the speed limit is like, it's much higher than 35 going past Oakley, and I can just see a bad accident coming on Oakley and Pitney, and I know that is under, I don't think it's under the Junction City area, but I was just wondering if we have some person who is a liaison with the county to say, hey, can we get this lowered? So that's one thing. I don't know if anyone wants to comment on that. That's just a concern I have. The second concern is, as a citizen, I have been here coming up 7 years, I've seen a lot of traffic, much more traffic on Ivy Street. And during the daytime, it's pretty hard to make even a left-hand turn. And I know that when, again, we're getting more and more people coming in, I can see Junction City popping up to 10,000 just within a couple years. And I'm just wondering if anybody has gone to the state and said, what can we do because there's just going to get more and more traffic. And the way I see it, if we don't at least start having a conversation now, the longer we delay at least a conversation with the state doing something, the traffic is just going to get continue to get worse and worse, and we'll just see more accidents. So those are just two concerns I have.
Thank you very much. I will look into both of those for you, and we will be giving you some sort of an answer. All right. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Council, it is an honor. My name is James Manning. I am state senator for this district, which includes North and West Eugene, up to and including Junction City and Lancaster. I say Lancaster because one of my constituents there decided that I needed to recognize Lancaster, so I do, and I'm happy to do that anytime. I just want to take a few moments, if I could, to explain some of the things that deals with some of the legislative business that I have been involved with. One is that I've been having a lot of conversations with members of the Eugene and also Lane County in regards to ARPA funds, the project that we had. Later on, we found out that there was a lot of extra money that was available, and it was determined that every Senate district would get $4 million and every House member would get $2 million. And the purpose of that was for us to do pet projects that we had individually had our eyes on, and they were ready to go, shovel ready to go. So what I chose to do with my $4 million, I was looking at public safety. As a former police officer, I strongly believe in public safety. Eugene Police Department had a crisis intervention vehicle that they need to be replaced. They could not budget for this item. And as a member of the Eugene Police Foundation, we could not raise that kind of money in order to fund it. So these ARPA funds came available for that vehicle was costing them about $370,000. So I took that on. There were some other projects around that dealt with housing and other issues, food insecurities, stuff that I've also spent money on, mental health and wellness programs, things like that, youth offenders programs. When we got this task, we were given 1 week, 1 week to decide where these funds were going to go, 1 week. So after I had identified all of the funding and stuff for Eugene and some for Lane County, Junction City is also my district, and the people of Junction City deserve to have some of these funds. Sorry. I had 1 day's notice to reach out to Junction City under public safety, and I contacted the police chief, and I said, 1 day. I need this to turn it in tomorrow. I reached out to the mayor. I think that there is a great opportunity because I did some work, or I had a chance to visit the senior center down here in Junction City where I held a town hall one time. And I thought that would be a good opportunity to kind of build that up a little bit, you know, to offer some more resources. But after I spoke with the mayor, she had a vision that would do exactly what I had in mind, I thought. So that's how I got these two projects here and other projects. Now, I had 1 day in order to turn around and submit that these projects. If not, I would lose those funds. I was not going to just let $4 million go and Junction City or any city in my district not reap the benefits of those funds. These are the programs that I chose to do. I thought it was the right thing. I believe it's the right thing to do right now. So I would be open to any questions. Now, here's the other thing about the funds that I check time and time. The federal government lays down guidelines as to the expenditures of these funds. So each one of these funds will have to go through a vetting process in order to determine whether or not they meet the criteria associated with federal guidelines. I am positive that my projects that I picked out meet those guidelines because I did research myself. These projects as submitted have to go as submitted. They cannot be changed. So that's what happens when you get one day turnaround and you got $4 million and you got to get it, identify projects and get them done right then. It's not a fun deal to do it like that. I wish I had more time to look around and explore other options. And there will be other options and other opportunities available as time goes on. But this was something that I had to do and I had a limited turnaround and I had to get it out there. It's already approved, signed into law. The governor signed the bill on August 6th, but it would have went into effect after the bill was approved by the Senate and the House at that time. So it's already out there. Finally, I would like to say two other things before I stop. I had mentioned, I know that Junction City, listen to some of the city councilors and some of the others that had mentioned about a new city hall. I agree with you. I will work as hard as I can to get that. I've talked with legislative fiscal office and I've talked to people in capital construction. What I cannot do, I cannot submit the request. It has to come from the city council, from this body. You have to make out a formal request. I will carry that request and I will work hard as I can to ensure that Junction City get a new city hall. But it has to start here. I ran into a brick wall because I can fight for you, but I cannot create the request for you. So that's where I am on that part. Finally, I would like to say to the mayor, your recent loss, I too have suffered a recent loss with my wife. I think you and I have the same thing going on within our hearts and in our minds. And it is a dark place. It's something that I can't explain. I go home every night to an empty house. I know what you feel. And I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry for your pain. But I do thank you for still being willing to be a public servant. That's very admirable, and it speaks volumes of you, your character, and your integrity. With that, I have nothing else to say unless there might be a question or two from me.
I'm sorry. I have a question. Yeah. I'm just a little confused. Because you said we have to come to you with the thing for City Hall and whatever.
Okay, so what it is, it's a process that you submit. You have to have your plan, your funding, all of this stuff has to be drawn out into a submission request. I'm not quite sure of all the particulars, but I would like to introduce Kenzie. Kenzie is my new legislative director. Her number is available. If you don't have her number, make her number available and contact Kenzie. She will get all of the particular requirements and stuff, and then it will run directly to my office wherever it needs to go to get it done.
I'm still a little confused because you said we had to contact you or Kenzie, but for the funds, the ARPA funds, you contacted us?
For the ARPA funds, for my pet projects, I reached out to the chief and also the mayor because, again, Junction City needed my job is to make sure I look out for all of my constituency. That includes Junction City. I have a very high regard for the people here in Junction City. Those were two projects that I thought that were ready based off my personal experiences, the many times I traveled back and forth to Junction City. They did not request the funds. It was me offering funds to them.
Okay, so ARPA is totally different in how they're offered?
Yes, and this is a one-time deal. One time deal only.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Senator Tomei.
Thank you very much. And if you don't have Kenzie's number or anything, if we can give your number and she's my point of contact. Any questions about anything moving forward legislatively or anything like that, and feel free to call me direct too. I'm okay with that. I would prefer to make sure that when we have a venue like this, it's even better that way. There are some questions that some may have or may not have, and it's a good opportunity for me to come and visit with you. So again, I appreciate you giving me time to address the council, and I am so happy. I'm looking forward to some bigger, better things, and I please ask you to realize that I fight for you very hard in Salem because I represent Junction City, and your interests are mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Manning, for taking the time and the trouble to come and visit with us and for your kind words. Is there any other public comments on items not listed on the agenda tonight? And Mr. Olson, I'm sure we'll get back to you on your concerns, okay? Now I'm going to turn this over to Administrator Canope with our introduction to our new library coordinator.
Yes, ma'am. So, just wanted to take a moment for the council's request to introduce some new staff. But unfortunately, it's taken a little bit to get this coordinated where it would work right. But I wanted to take a moment for those who of you who haven't met her, for Michelle. Sorry, Michelle, how do you say your last name?
Schneider.
She is has taken over from Frieda for the library. She is our new library coordinator. Give us a little background.
The background I come from is about 20 years in federal archives with the National Park Service and the National Archives. And then my work here in Oregon has been at a college, Oregon State University, with their Valley Library. And then so coming here. Very excited to work with the community and all the programs that I look forward to offering all the patrons here.
Welcome.
Thank you. And I'm always handing these out. These are our summer reading program, which I'm very proud of. I've only been here 3 months, but I was able to triple our participant rate. We had about 92 kids participating, who are still participating till the end of the summer in our reading program. So.
That's wonderful.
Good job.
Yeah, and I love these. They're so colorful.
Madam Mayor, may I make just a comment?
Yes.
It would be nice if we could meet all of the employees, you know, as they come in. We used to meet, you know.
I'm sorry, could you speak up?
Okay, I would just say that it'd be nice to meet all the employees, you know, as they come on new, so we know, you know, who's who.
I'm a little confused. So when you say all employees, you mean all new employees?
Oh, well, as new employees come in. I mean, yeah.
Administrator.
Michelle is my first step towards doing that. So.
Administrator Canope and I had discussed this.
Yes. Yep. Mayor had made it very clear that I needed to be a little more responsive on that. So that's why Michelle was first.
No. Thank you, Michelle. And thank you, Administrator Canope, also. Now we'll go to the public hearing, the zoning code text amendment regulating mobile food court units. Turning it over to our planning technician, Andrews. And let's see, where is that? Yep, I've got it here. Right here. Okay. So I have to read it all, right?
Yes.
Okay. This evening we have a public hearing on audience number one. An ordinance amending City of Junction City Municipal Code Chapters 17.05, Introduction and Definitions, 17.135, Temporary Use Permit, and 17.150, Administration, Enforcement, and Interpretation to Permit Mobile Food Units in Commercial Zones. The City Council will make a final decision upon the ordinance based on the complete record, including the testimony received at tonight's public hearing. These proceedings will be recorded. This hearing will be held in accordance with the land use procedures required by the city and the state of Oregon. This is a Type 4 legislature procedure. At the beginning of the public hearing tonight, staff will identify the applicable substantive criteria from the city's comprehensive plan and our State of Oregon statewide planning goals. For anyone wishing to speak, you must be recognized by me, and you must state your name and address for the public record. Written testimony may also be offered and will be considered and made a part of the record. Before we begin, does any counselor wish to declare an actual or potential conflict of interest in this matter? Counselor Wells? Here now. For both types of conflicts, please, no, I guess we don't have to read that part. I will now open the public hearing for ordinance number one, an ordinance that would amend the city's zoning and land use code to permit mobile food units in commercial zones at 6:53 p.m. May we please have the staff report?
Good evening, Council. I'm Terry Andrews, I'm the planning technician, and I'll be reviewing the staff report with you for the proposed amendments to the land, the zoning and land use ordinance. It's Title 17 of the Junction City Municipal Code. This is the second of two required public hearings to amend the code. Title 17, the zoning and land use code, requires for type 4 land use, which is what this is, it requires two public hearings, one before the Planning Commission where they make recommendation and one before the council, and the council is the decision maker. The applicable criteria for this is Junction City Municipal Code 17.145.010, which authorization to initiate amendment, and the council is one of those entities that is authorized to initiate an amendment to the zoning code. That took place last August when the council at that time initiated an amendment to the text of the zoning code and to regulate mobile food units. And at that time, that motion was to regulate them as conditional uses. And I'll get into that in just a little bit because the proposal before you this evening is slightly different. Also before you this evening for your consideration is an ordinance for the amendment of the Title 17 and a fee resolution. On August 11th of 2020, the City Council initiated a text amendment to the Zoning and Land Use Code to regulate mobile food units as conditional uses in commercial zones. As proposed by staff and initiated by the council, a mobile food unit permit would have been a type 3 land use action requiring a public hearing before the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission would be the decision maker in a conditional use situation. The conditional use permit process takes approximately 6 weeks, and an approved conditional use permit is valid until that use is discontinued. Prior to scheduling the first of the two required public hearings, the Planning Commission held discussions at several meetings between September of 2020 and May of this year, and they reviewed applicable Junction City Municipal Code as well as the Oregon Health Authority's guidelines on mobile food units and the application. Lane County is the implementing organization for that guideline. They have the applications and they process and regulate mobile food units themselves. So the Planning Commission reviewed those application packets as well as zoning ordinances for other communities and how they handle mobile food units. And at the conclusion of that, they made some recommendations, and there was a work session held on June 22nd before the council where those recommendations were reviewed. One of the things that they were recommending was that mobile food unit permit applications be reviewed as a temporary use and a type 1 land use action. Type 1 land use actions are staff level reviews and require that criteria be pretty cut and dry, a yes or no kind of situation, and do not require interpretation or legal judgment. And the temporary use, they had looked at that because there were other communities of this size in this area that also review and regulate mobile food units under the their own temporary use permit process. So during the review, there are relevant dates. The amendment again was initiated last August by the council. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on July 21st, 2021. Notices were sent out prior to that. The code requires a minimum 20-day notice for those. Those notices were sent out to restaurant owners, and they were posted in numerous locations in town, as well as on the city's website. And at the public hearing at the Planning Commission level, we had testimony from one mobile food unit operator, and also the owner of the beer station, Nelson Rosales. And they both testified in favor of the proposed amendments. And let's see. Going on, so some of the criteria that the Planning Commission and the Council reviewed in their discussions were that currently the city code that applies to mobile food units is generally a shorter term situation where it's either for a special event such as the Scandinavian Festival, under a temporary business license, which is a 30-day limitation, or under the current temporary use permit process, which would allow for a maximum of about 3 years. So there was no long-term kind of situation where someone could renew a permit, say on an annual basis, to be able to have a mobile food unit at a specific location in town. So during the public hearing at the Planning Commission level, they made a couple of four different recommendations. Initially, the information that was presented to them at the public hearing, there were two definitions that were proposed, one for mobile food unit and one for a mobile food pod. However, during the discussion, it was determined that the mobile food pod definition, since the only place it appeared in the proposed amendments was as a definition, that it really should be removed because it wasn't applicable anywhere else, and that their understanding was that what they were trying to get at with the placement of the mobile food units, that would regulate and limit the number that could be at any one location, so you wouldn't get just a whole glut of mobile food units in any one location. And that will go into a little bit more in just a second here. So they recommended removal of the definition for mobile food pods. And then going on to the criteria for the mobile food units themselves, as part of that research, they identified that Lane County does a pretty thorough job of reviewing and regulating the mobile food unit itself, and that the placement within Junction City, that was really the area where the local code could refine the placement and location and making sure that it's a safe location for everyone who wants to be able to use it and any passersby. So one of the things they recommended, the code that was presented to them included information about parking, and it said that no parking spaces will be utilized by customers and employees of the mobile food unit that are required for the property owner to meet their own minimum parking requirements. They recommended that section be removed, and they felt that remaining proposed criteria addressed parking through the property owner's permission, because that's required for the mobile food unit to locate on a location. Things like the ingress and egress requirements to make sure that the mobile food unit was not in the way of a driveway where other vehicles would be coming on and off the property. Pedestrian safety and building and fire codes. They felt that would also, those criteria would also help to limit the number of mobile food units on any one property, so that there wouldn't be an unsafe situation. And the other change modification that they recommended was that on number, criteria number seven was that the mobile food unit will occupy, will comply, pardon me, that mobile food unit will comply with applicable Oregon health and, no, sorry, it's the next one down. The mobile food unit will comply with applicable building and fire code. And they recommended the addition of and its placement, so that the proposal would now read, the mobile food unit and its placement will comply with building code and fire code requirements. So that, that addressed some safety concerns that were discussed at the Planning Commission level. There is a copy in the packet. I included a copy of the draft minutes from the public safety, the Planning Commission public hearing, so that you could read that in a little bit more depth. And of course, the audio is available on the city's website. The last modification that they recommended from the discussion, the information that was presented previously, was that there be a section added for modifications. So there was a question raised, say someone gets a mobile food unit operator gets a permit, but those permits are tied to a specific location because they require the property owner's permission, and that written permission has to be submitted as part of their application packet. And they decide 4 months down the line, it's an annual permit, and they decide 4 months down the line that that location isn't serving their purpose, and they found another location that they feel will be better. And so they came up with some guidelines for being able to modify an existing valid permit so that the operator could change locations if they felt that would be best for them. And those, that criteria to be able to modify included an updated site plan of the new location and the new placement, proof of the commercial property, the new commercial property owner's permission, and being able to show that that new location and that new placement meet the criteria that are laid out in the under the temporary use permit for mobile food unit proposed codes. There are a couple other, there was one housekeeping item that came up during preparation for the public hearing of the Planning Commission, and that is that under that the temporary, there was a section at the very end of the temporary use of chapter 117.135 for temporary uses that said that temporary uses that do not exceed 1 week per year and that have been recurring on an annual basis for more than 5 years prior to adoption of the ordinance codified in this chapter are exempt from having to get a temporary use permit. Not that would be not the temporary use permit for mobile food units that we're discussing this evening, but a general temporary use permit. And so staff recommend that a portion of that sentence be struck through that would read, temporary uses that do not exceed 1 week per year and that have been recurring on an annual basis, so that because the code was written in 1991 and we had one multiple day event that was recurring on a regular basis, and that was the Scandinavian Festival. Since then we have Function for Junction, and there might be a couple of others that I can't think of right now. So by striking that for more than 5 years prior to the adoption of and codification of this chapter, that kind of just did a little housekeeping to so that Function for Junction didn't run into an issue in the future. They also recommended that under exemptions, that mobile food unit operators on a single site that are invited by the property owner or business owner for less than 72 hours would be exempt from the mobile food unit permit. So they were thinking if someone was having a grand opening and they wanted to have invite a mobile food unit operator to participate in their grand opening, that mobile food unit operator could be exempt from the permit criteria here because they would be there for less than 72 hours, like a grand opening weekend kind of an idea. The other thing that they suggested as an exemption is that the mobile food unit operating on a single site for a maximum of 21 non-consecutive days per calendar year could be exempt from the mobile food unit operating permit. that, those are the highlights. Is there any, are there any questions, or can I clarify?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
You touched a little bit on it with the fire code, but mm-hmm. so say, I guess use the beer station for an example.
Okay.
So if he wants three carts more brought in there, he's already up to fire code, but when those carts come in, that could make a difference in how they're mm-hmm. set up. So does the fire department go in and do an inspection before they get their
permit? They would be notified when an application comes in. So as an example, if the beer station wanted to add more mobile food units and they submit a new site plan showing where those are going to be, staff would review it for criteria that's listed in the proposed language here before you this evening. And it would also be given to the fire, both to our building official and to the fire district for their review and comment. So,
okay.
And yeah, and then okay. those comments would be given back to the mobile food
unit. Because I was thinking there'd be a lot more propane tanks
right.
and stuff.
Yeah, there. That was one of the
and be able to get in if they had to get in
right.
for
yeah.
any kind of emergency inside of the gates.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do any other councilors have questions for Planning Commission?
I do.
Staff. Yes.
I just wanted to check on garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How is that?
So at the work session for the council, there was the addition of, let me see if I can find it, which page it's on. So one of the criteria under 17.135, I think it's on page 4 of the staff report, it talks about compliance with water and sewer requirements and permits if necessary, and garbage was added to that sentence.
Okay.
So that they would be required, so that the Oregon or the Lane County permit for the mobile food unit itself states that they have to offer garbage service to their customers, but this addition would require them to have garbage service, of whether that be through the property owner that they're working with, but they would have to show how they're going to get rid of their garbage.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Good question. Any other counselors, any other questions for staff? I'm hearing none. Move on to public testimony. If you wish to hear from everyone who's interested in this proposal, so, but please remember to state your name and address for the record. Is there any proponent testimony? Yes, come.
Hi, my name is Tess Gardner. I live at 810 Birch Street. I am a proponent of the proposal to change the municipal code. However, I'd like the council to understand that there is no regulatory agency that oversees liability insurance for food trucks. I am a food truck owner, I know this. As a result of this, I'd like to ask the council to please consider requiring liability insurance proof as part of the application process to ensure public safety for everyone involved. That's all.
Thank you. Do you have, before you sit down, does the council, do you have any questions for the speaker? Staff, do you have any? Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Good point. Okay. Is there any other proponent testimony? Is there any neutral testimony in regard to this? Hearing none. Do we have any opponent testimony? Hearing none. Okay. Is there any questions from the council? Any further questions? I have one. What about this liability insurance? What do we?
It could be added as a criteria. And so they would have
what is the feeling of the council?
Absolutely. It makes sense.
I think
at least it does to me anyway.
There's a consensus. I think it should. Should be what is the staff have any input on this? What about Ross, our counsel, our legal counsel?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I do have one concern on that issue, and maybe it's worth having staff do a little research and come back to you on it. The concern I have is we've seen this, City of Eugene actually got sued a couple decades ago on this issue. They require taxi drivers to have insurance, and if staff doesn't follow up and make sure that they actually have that insurance, then there is some potential liability on the city. So that's kind of the, you know, the good and the bad with that requirement. I totally understand the requirement, and I understand the need for it and the want for it. But the flip side of that issue is that if staff isn't on the ball and doesn't ensure that the insurance is maintained and obtained at the first place, then there is some problem with the city.
Okay.
For the city.
Well, thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Yes. Oh, yes.
May I respond to this?
Yes. If you don't mind going back up, and you don't have to repeat your name and address, I think.
I don't have to?
No.
Okay. There is a program called FLIP. It stands for Food Liability Insurance Program, and all food truck owners should have this. This protects the public, this protects the food owner, this protects the business owner who has a food truck parked in their lot from any and all type of liability, from an awning falling down and causing injury to a foodborne illness causing injury, and also has provisions for fire hazards and things of such nature if injury occurs as a result of that. It's cost effective. It only costs approximately $300 a year, and it is an annual policy. So the reason I suggest it is because you have to pay for it for the entire year. If you show proof of it, the city won't have to follow up with it until the renewal process, at which case they will have new information that they've renewed their policy.
Thank you for the information. That's very helpful. So how do we want to proceed on this? To turn it over and have the staff come back to us on it with our legal counsel giving input? Is that what I'm hearing?
That would be best. Give us a chance to look into that a little bit more.
Okay. So do you want to postpone any action on this ordinance, or should we go ahead with it tonight?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I'd rather staff bring it back to us in full, written out and everything, prior to making a vote on anything.
So based on the subtle head nods or head shake I'm getting, I believe that would be the best thing to let us.
I agree with you.
Come back.
I wanted to ask, Jerry, yes. Did you get any feedback, anything from some of the restaurants in town? No problems?
No,
good.
No, and I mailed the restaurant's physical addresses, the name of the business owner that was registered with the state, and there was one other. So I made three different attempts.
Well, I appreciate that. So. That's great. Yeah, that's good. That was one of my main concerns, just to make sure they were okie-dokie with all this.
Okay.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you. As always, our staff is always on the ball, but we do need help every once in a while. We're human. So we will postpone this and take it up at our next regular meeting.
To the next meeting.
Am I hearing, is there any kind of...
We'll
help you
out here. Just have a second.
Brief pause.
So it would be postponing this until September 14th, 2021.
Okay. Is that going to be a problem for
the
food trucks or anyone, businesses or anything?
No, we should be fine.
Okay. Oh. All right. Well, I guess that kind of makes our meeting a little shorter.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. but thank you for the input. Like I said, yes, for our staff. Ms. Andrews.
I have a question. Just don't need
counsel. Okay.
Do we need a motion continuing the public hearing?
Yeah. How do we handle this? I was just going to ask that.
I think it's consent. We haven't closed the public hearing, so I would say that what we have is we have a continued hearing until the date certain, which is September 14th.
Okay. So before I close the hearing, I would Do I do that before or after?
We're actually not going to close the hearing.
Okay.
We're going to continue the hearing until September 14th.
Okay. So I am going to not close the hearing. I am going to, this will be a continuance of the hearing, and we will take it back up on our meeting on September the 14th, 2021. Right? Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you all. And so that would take care of the audience and the resolutions and all of that. So we need to move on to the Pacific Power franchise, which is number 7 on our list. And I'll turn it over to Administrator Canope.
Well, just have a second here. I got myself all confused. So before the council tonight is the Pacific Power franchise. The city franchises with a number of agencies to provide telephone, cable TV, natural gas, power. Junction City actually currently we franchise with 3 different companies for power. Pacific Power, which handles the kind of the downtown core, original core of the city. EPUD, Emerald People's Utility District, which kind of handles the newer outer edges of town. And then Blatchley Power, which for Junction City is literally one customer at this point in time, which is the mental hospital. And if the prison ever gets built, they'll be on Blatchley's franchise as well. And what that does is the city charges a percentage fee for the use of the city's right-of-ways. The Pacific Power franchise expired in 2020. There's a number of franchises that have expired, 2 of them before the council tonight. Dealing with some of our bigger agencies like Pacific Power is actually a little easier to some degree as far as redoing a franchise. So that's what's before the council tonight, is to renew the franchise. It was reviewed by the Finance and Judiciary Committee meeting in the June, July. I want to say July, I could be wrong, but it was reviewed just not that long ago by the Finance and Judiciary Committee, and they didn't have any issues or concerns with it. Really pretty minimal, not a lot of changes. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. They're, you know, Pacific Power, we really haven't had any issues with them. Typically in your franchise agreements is where you kind of lay out the rules of how everybody plays together. Pacific Power's always played well with us, so there really wasn't a lot of issues to address. I'm happy to answer any questions that the council may have on this ordinance before them tonight.
Okay. Councilor, have questions for our city administrator in regard to this? Councilor Wells, if you have any questions. Is he still on the...
He is, it appears he's got himself muted at this point.
Oh, okay, all right. As long as he's hearing this.
Yep.
Okay. No comments, no questions? So we will move on to the ordinance.
So, you want to read, Ross, or do you want me to
do this?
All right, how about I'll take this one, you can get the next one.
Fair enough.
All right. Ordinance number 2, an ordinance approving a non-exclusive franchise with Pacific Corp for the operation and maintenance of a system to provide electric services, delegating authority to the city administrator, authority to enter into said franchise and declaring emergency. Whereas the City of Junction City, and Pacific Corp have agreed to terms of a franchise agreement for the operation of a system within the public rights of way to provide electric services, and whereas the city has jurisdiction and exercises regulatory management authority over all city public rights of way pursuant to the city charter and state law. The city's purpose for exerting its management authority over the public rights of way is to protect and efficiently manage the public's resources, to ensure fair and non-discriminatory access to the public right of way, and to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. And whereas no person may occupy or encroach on a public right of way without the permission of the city. The city grants permission to use public rights of way through franchise agreements and construction permits, and whereas the city upholds the health, safety, welfare, quality of life, and opportunities to prosper, as well as such physical assets such as the public right-of-way in trust for all of its citizens, and has a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that any use of city resources, especially its public rights-of-way, benefits all the citizens and, where it is deemed appropriate, allows for the recovery of a fair and reasonable compensation from private entities using public resources. Now, therefore, the City of Junction City ordains as follows. Section 1, Authorization. City Council hereby approves the franchise agreement attached as Exhibit A and delegates to and authorizes the City Administrator to sign and enter into the franchise agreement. Section 2, Emergency Clause. For the preservation of health or peace, health, and safety of Junction City, Oregon, due to the expiration of Ordinance 1200, an emergency is declared to exist, and this ordinance shall become immediately operative and enforced retroactively from and after the date of the adoption by the Junction City Council. Grantee's acceptance shall be filed with the City Recorder within 30 days of adoption by the Junction City Council and approval by the Junction City Mayor. Read in full for this first reading on the 10th day of August 2021.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And we have two options for the ordinance adoption. We can be, it's on the back of the, in your packet under Pacific Power Franchise. We can consider it two different meetings, or it can be considered at one meeting, which requires a unanimous vote of the council. So what is the council's wishes on this? We can do it, have the full reading, which we did, and then at our next meeting, it can be read by title only and considered at that time, or else we can do it tonight, which requires a unanimous vote. So.
Madam Mayor, I just feel like, to me, it's like cleaning up some paperwork that needed to be cleaned up quite a while ago, so. Personally, I'm okay with just the one reading of it.
Okay. I agree.
How about the rest of the council? Councilor Wells?
Yes.
Okay. So I will entertain a motion to read the ordinance number 2 by title only, I would assume.
I make a motion to read ordinance 2 by title only.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Been made and seconded that we approve this. And I'll take a vote now.
Madam Mayor?
Oh, yes.
If the motion is to read by title only.
Oh, okay. The motion is to read by title only has been made and seconded, and the vote has been taken. Councilor Wells, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Councilor Gamby?
Yes.
Councilor Thomas?
Yes.
Councilor Seneca?
Yes.
Councilor Washburn?
Yes.
And Councilor Leach?
Yes.
Okay. Now, make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2. Do I hear that motion?
We're done.
Madam Mayor, I need to read it by title first.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Don't mind me tonight. Yeah.
That's okay. Ordinance number 2, an ordinance approving a non-exclusive franchise with the Pacific Corp for the operation and maintenance of a system to provide electric services, delegating to the City Administrator authority to enter into said franchise and declaring an emergency.
Now, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance number 2?
I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 2.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Been made and seconded that we adopt ordinance number 2 in regard to Pacific Power Franchise. And Councilor Wells, how do you vote, yes or no?
Yes.
Councilor Gamby?
Yes.
Councilor Thomas?
Yes.
Councilor Seneca?
Yes.
Councilor Washburn?
Yes.
And Councilor Leach?
Yes.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded and voted yes. So the Pacific Power franchise is taken care of, and we will move on to the Northwest Natural franchise, which I assume, I think, is going to be read by our council, Ross Williamson.
Yes.
I'll give that report. I'll give that report real quick on this one. So unfortunately, the Northwest Natural franchise has been expired since 2014. And I will admit, we have Kitty now tracking our franchises so we don't get back into this position again. But needless to say, we've got this one worked out now. It took a little longer. Northwest Natural is not quite as fun to negotiate with. But we had a couple of things that we've gotten resolved that's with Northwest Natural on some of their processes. So we feel we're in good shape. Not a lot of major changes on this one, just like Pacific Power. I mean, this franchise has been in place for a number of years, so it's pretty well hammered out. Overall, it's been a little longer, but we're getting it taken care of. We've got several others. Not really much of anything with this one to really point out that we changed. Again, it's just minor dates and just that kind of that minor cleanup. No, I will say on all of these, they've continued to pay their franchise fees regardless of whether the agreement was valid or not. So we've still been receiving those revenues. So, it's been business as usual that way for Mike. So Mike, isn't after us about making sure we get that revenue. So they've been doing good on that. It's just now cleaning up this documentation back in. Be more than happy to answer any questions before Ross reads this one.
Is there any questions? Hearing none, I will turn it over so that we can get a reading.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 3, an ordinance approving a non-exclusive franchise with Northwest Natural Gas Company for the operation and maintenance of a system to provide natural gas services, delegating to the city administrator authority to enter into such franchise and declaring an emergency. Whereas the city of Jefferson City and Northwest Natural Gas Company have agreed to terms of a franchise agreement for the operation of a system within the public rights of way to provide natural gas services. And whereas the city has jurisdiction and exercises regulatory management authority over all city public rights of way pursuant to the city charter and state law. The city's purpose for exerting its management authority over the public rights of way is to protect the efficiency and efficiently manage the public's resources to ensure fair and non-discriminatory access to the public right of way and to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. And whereas no person may occupy or encroach on a public right of way without the permission of the city, the city grants permission to use rights of way through franchise agreements and construction permits. And whereas the city holds the health, safety, and welfare, quality of life, and opportunities to prosper, as well as such physical assets such as the public right of way in trust for all of its citizens, and has fiduciary responsibility to assure that any use of city resources, especially its public ways, benefits all citizens, and where it is deemed appropriate, allow for the recovery of fair and reasonable compensation from private entities using public resources. Now, therefore, the city of Junction City ordains as follows. Section 1, authorization. The city council hereby approves the franchise agreement attached as Exhibit A and delegates to and authorizes the city administrators to sign and enter into the franchise agreement. Section 2, emergency clause. For the preservation of the peace, health, and safety of Junction City, Oregon, due to the expiration of ordinance number 1122, an emergency is declared to exist, and this ordinance shall become immediately operative and in force retroactively from and after the date of adoption by Junction City Council. Read in full for its first reading on the 10th day of August, 2021.
Thank you very much. Again, we have two options. We can consider this at two different meetings, or we can go ahead tonight, which requires a unanimous vote of the council. Either one, the ordinance has been read in full. How is the feelings of the council?
I make a motion that we move forward to ordinance number 3.
Okay. Hanging on since 2014, time to move ahead.
Okay. And Councillor Wells, are you in agreement with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Are you hearing consensus on this? So we're going to consider it at one meeting. And the ordinance has been read in full, so I would entertain a councilor motion to read the ordinance number 3 by title only. Do I hear a motion in that respect?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded that we read ordinance number 3 by title only. Counselor Wells, how do you vote?
Yes.
Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Thomas?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
Counselor Leach?
Yes.
Okay. And you can read by title.
Yes. Ordinance number 3. An ordinance approving a non-exclusive franchise with Northwest Natural Gas Company for the operation and maintenance of a system to provide natural gas services, delegating to the city administrator authority to enter into such franchise, and declaring an emergency.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion from a counselor in regard to this ordinance?
I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 3.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt ordinance number 3. And any discussion questions? Hearing none. Counselor Wells, how do you vote?
Yes.
Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Thomas?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
And Counselor Leach?
Yes.
It has been approved unanimously, so we have adopted ordinance number 3. And now we will move on to the Peterson Street closure request with Director Capping, and he is, so, and in his place is, yes, yes.
Okay, for the council this evening is a street closure from on 13th Street between Tamara and Oakley Drive. The applicant supplied a letter requesting this closure on July 27th of this year. Staff contacted both police department and the fire department to get for their review. Neither one had issues, assuming that emergency vehicles could get through if necessary. This went to the Community Development Committee at the August 4th meeting and was recommended to go to council for final approval. Council options are as follows. Any questions?
Any questions from the council? I have one. Considering what is going to happen as of tomorrow with our mask wearing and with the variant that has come of COVID, is there any concerns?
This is an outdoor activity. The street closure, basically a block party. I don't see any concerns at this point. I think, you know, the folks, if they did have concerns, they probably wouldn't attend. So, as far as staff or staff's concerned, no, I don't think so.
Okay. Council, if you have questions. Counselor Wells, you have questions?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Actually,
yes.
I do.
Yes.
Kind of going off of your concern, if for some reason there is a change announced by the governor or the county or something for even outdoor events, can we maybe add something that would say that they just follow the guidelines that are, you know, for our area, or just throw something in there?
That's a question for staff.
Right. We could, yeah, I don't see why not. We could probably, legal, can we require that as part of this closure? Or can we just strongly suggest?
Well, and so we're playing a little guessing game of what the governor's going to say tomorrow, right?
Right.
So I think any event, so I mean, if we look back in time, the governor regulated and OHA regulated outdoor events and festivities and festivals, and so if they come up with some kind of rubric that this would fall under, everyone's required to follow the law.
So if there is an OHA regulation with the force of the governor behind it, then they would have to comply, whether we have anything in here or not.
Okay. Mm. You could put something just as simple as, because we've done this for a festival, actually. The applicant is required to follow all state and local laws and requirements, and just all, you know, follow all laws and requirements, period. Just leaving it general like that. Then if the governor comes up with something, then we've already got the hook in there saying, hey, you have to follow it without having to spell out every little potential enumeration of what could happen. If we just put the general statement like we did for the festival, then that covers it.
I think that would be a better thing to do in the long run.
Could we get that read? There's a suggestion for a motion on the back of the page of the Peterson Street closure. Could someone, our legal counsel, or...
Sure, I'll take
okay.
a crack at it.
Okay.
So the motion would read, I make a motion to approve the street closure request for the Peterson Street Party on August 21st, 2021, as conditioned in Attachment B with the non-exclusive use of city streets for street closure from...
6 to 11.
6 p.m. to 11 p.m. The use of city streets will apply to 13th Street between Oakley and Tamarack, with the following changes of adding the condition, applicant will follow all state and local guidelines, health guidelines.
Perfect.
Okay. State health guidelines. Okay. So, do I hear a motion to approve the street closure or to deny?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Is this for approval with the changes
as
stated? Okay. So we are voting, this motion is to approve the street closure request with the changes that were added. Is that sufficient, Kitty?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And I will, is there any questions or comments anyone wants to make? Not? I will entertain a second to that motion.
I'll second that motion. Okay.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the street closure request. Ken Wells, Councillor Wells, how do you vote, yes or no?
Yes.
Councillor Gundy?
Yes.
Councillor Thomas?
Yes.
Councillor Seneca?
Yes.
Councillor Washburn?
Yes.
And Councillor Leeds?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank y'all. Okay. And now we'll move on to future wells, which again I'm going to turn over to Jeff.
Yes, for the council this evening is the request to for the city for Public Works to drill 2 to 3 test wells around town. As the city grows, obviously the demand for the water grows as well. The city has chosen 3 different locations that wells would benefit us in various different ways. One of those being obviously production. Another one would be most of our wells are currently on the east side of town. You only have one on the west side. Staff would like to get another production well on the west side of town for multiple purposes, not only production, but if something bad happens over here, we still have access, you know, on the other side of 99. This project will range anywhere between $15,000 to $42,000 per well. That's why you see in the request it's 2 to 3 wells.
we, Public Works staff, set aside $100,000 out of system development funds for this, out of this year's budget. This went to Public Works Committee at the August 2nd meeting, where it was requested to come to full council. The other, HBH Engineering has put together bid documents that are attached for review.
So, a couple of things I just want to add in for points of clarification, since I talked with Director Kavanaugh before he went on vacation. And unfortunately, Superintendent Tracer didn't have that opportunity, since he was on vacation. So, just to make it really clear, right now, all of our wells pretty much are in one aquifer. We're looking to diversify the aquifers that we're in to give us better ability to deal with droughts and things of that nature. Number two is, by council approving this tonight, this isn't approving the test well to be drilled. What this is doing is giving basically the engineer the nod to go ahead and get the bids and then bring them back through our bid process like we normally would do. So this isn't the last time the council will see this. This is just the council giving the nod to let the engineer, turn the engineer loose to do what engineers do best. And then we'll come back and so there'll be another bite at the apple and you'll know an exact price at that point
good.
In time. So.
Good.
Gary wanted me to make sure I pass out at least that part.
Thank
on you.
Okay. He usually does.
So, I guess we can call you Director Tracer. Today.
Sure.
Do you have anything else you wanted to add to this, or is there any questions from any of the counselors?
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
This is something we need to do as soon as possible because we got to get the bids back, and I don't know how long it will take to get the bids back. And with all the new home building going on, how long will it take the contractor to actually get in here to do the job is going to be one of the big issues as well.
That's true. And I think especially with the problem that we're having right now with water shortage. Agree. So, do I hear anyone wanting to make a motion to authorize the test well project?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
So motion has been made to authorize the test well project and to have HBH Engineers solicit three bids for this project. Is there any comments or questions from? But staff have any comments or? Okay. We will vote on it. Councillor Wells.
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Gamby.
Yes.
Councillor Thomas.
Yes.
Councillor Seneca.
Yes.
Councillor Washburn.
Yes.
And Councillor Leach.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess we have a present for Gary when he comes back then to have this done. Thank you very much. Director Tracer, one more time.
Mayor?
Yes.
May I be excused for a couple minutes? I am familiar with item number 11 and I'm in favor of it.
Why don't we just, if anyone, I'm going to call about a 5-minute break.